الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa. Last week, we actually recited ayat 97 and 98. And I believe even 99. However, we only went over the tafsir or the translation of the tafsir of the Shaykh up till ayah 97. So today we will resume, inshallah, from ayah 98 and 99, wherein it says, "A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, illa al-mustad'afin min ar-rijali wal-nisa'i wal-wildani la yastati'una hilatan wa la yahtaduna sabila." فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except for the oppressed among men, women and children who cannot devise a plan, nor are they directed to a way. For those it is expected that Allah will pardon them, and Allah is ever pardoning and forgiving. So the context, as you brothers know already, was that of the Hijrah and those Muslims who reside among the disbelievers, even though they have the means to migrate, they have the means to leave, they have the means to relocate with the Muslims into the Muslim land. So they were being reprimanded by the angels who were telling them that you were wronging yourselves. And Allah described them in the state of wronging themselves. And the angels were saying, what condition were you in? They said, we were weak and oppressed among the land. And then they said to them, which signifies that they're unsatisfied with their answer, wasn't the land of Allah spacious enough so that you may travel therein and immigrate within it? So that indicates that that was an unsatisfactory answer. Had it been satisfactory, then the angels would have just refuted them or continued to reply. When they said, we were weak and oppressed in the land, then they said, then you had another choice, which is to leave, which means that they are guilty. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, as usual, made an exception. And this is a general principle in Islam. The general rules usually have exceptions depending on the individuals. The exception may be explicitly mentioned in the Quran, like in this example, that Allah said, this is the ruling, except such and such. Allah says, for example, Surah Al-Furqan, those who do not call on Allah other gods, and they do not kill the soul which Allah has made forbidden except with a just cause, and they do not commit zina, and whoever does that, and then Allah gave the punishment, and He said, "Illa man taba wa amana wa amila salihan," except the one who repents and believes and does righteous deeds. So there are times where Allah will state the ruling or the outcome, and then He will exempt particular individuals explicitly. And there are times when it is not done explicitly, but we know that the general principle in Islam provides them with this privilege. For instance, we learn from Islam that الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. Necessities allow that which is usually prohibited because of necessity. Or المشقة تجلب التيسير. These are all foundational principles in fiqh. Difficulty brings about ease, or usul al-fiqh. Difficulty brings about ease. So in Islam, anytime there's difficulty, then the concession is given for ease. And so even if it is not explicitly stated, based on that general principle, you understand that there is an exception to the rule. Because the ayah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not charge or does not burden a soul beyond its scope, beyond its ability to handle something. So these are general principles. So if you're ill and you're unable to perform a particular act of worship, if you're on Hajj and you cannot go and stone the Jamarat for whatever reason, you don't have to have a particular evidence that says that someone was sick and he couldn't, so someone did on your behalf. There's a general principle that gives you some sort of concession because of that need. That need, and so on and so forth. Ala kulli hal, here we have an exception that Allah Azza wa Jal gave Himself, and it was explicitly stated. Allah, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, ثُمَّ اسْتَثْنَى الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ الَّذِينَ لَا قُدْرَةَ لَهُمْ عَلَى الْإِجْرَى بِوَجْهٍ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ. Then Allah exempted those who are truly weak, not the ones who said we are weak, but they weren't. They weren't, they had the means. Allah now has given us the condition of those who are sincerely, truly, genuinely, legitimately weak. الَّذِينَ لَا قُدْرَ لَهُمْ عَلَى الْإِجْرَى. They have no means to migrate whatsoever. No way whatsoever to migrate. وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. And they have no one to guide them to a way. فَهَؤُلَاءِ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ. Allah says in regards to them, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. Those perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will pardon them, and ever is Allah pardoning and forgiving. Now the Shaykh said, وَعَسَى وَنَحْوِهَا وَاجِبٌ وُقُوعُهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِمُقْتَدَى كَرَمِهِ وَأَحْسَانِهِ. Amazing. And this is very technical now, because sometimes in the field of translation, you fall into many different traps. The traps of literal translation or verbatim translation, which is usually fine, but may bring about catastrophes. Because there are some things that you can't translate as per the word, because that word may carry one connotation in the language, the original language that you're speaking, and will have a different connotation in the language you're translating to, because of the culture and what have you of the audience. So bringing one word from one side and trying to give it to the other side, exactly as the dictionary may provide you, may actually become a source of misunderstanding for the audience. And the classical example, which we mention often, but people don't like it, and if you see the comments on the YouTube video in regards to this one, you will not believe the kind of comments that you get. Hatred and enmity and people verbally abusing you and cursing you out. Why? Because you tell them, don't say Holy Quran. Don't say Holy Prophet. It's like a big crime. And people leave all kinds of comments, you know, all the people dying and the Muslims, and you're sitting there getting on our case about saying Holy Prophet. You know, mind your business, let us say whatever we want to say and this, and people get upset. But truly, I mean, give me a break here. You know already in Christianity what holy means. I'm assuming you do if you do da'wah. You should know that when you tell a Christian Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, in his mind, these are the three gods in one, the triune God, the three Godheads. Because the term holy, besides signifying something which is sacred, it also signifies something that has divine attributes, depending on the context. Fair enough? We agree that holy may mean, you know, something that doesn't have to be divine, but is sacred and virtuous. And it also means something that is worthy of worship. This is known. So people say, holy cow. What do you think they say holy cow for? Holy cow because the Hindus, the cow is holy for them. It's their god. They worship it. Even if they claim otherwise, at the end of the day, that cow is an object of worship. So when you give in da'wah to a bunch of Christians, they are, you know, Trinitarians, they believe in the Trinity. They may be Unitarian Christians or some other denomination which is not as deviant. And you're telling them, well, our Holy Prophet said, you have to understand, man, that in these people's minds, or at least in some of their minds, they may be doing what they know from their religion. Oh, so you Muslims have two gods. We have three, you have two. It's Allah and Muhammad. Because you're saying Holy Prophet. So he says, Holy Prophet, Holy Son, Holy Prophet, Holy Spirit, Holy Prophet, Holy Father. Khalas. You're now teaching him shirk while you're trying to deliver the message of Tawheed. So I tell you, why do you have to say Holy Prophet? Did the Prophet ever use this name to describe himself? Did Allah call him by this name? Did the Sahaba say, Ayyuha Nabiyul Muqaddas? Never, ya akhi. Never did they use this term. So for you to impose it and create all this fitna is simply stupidity. Then to argue and try to refute those who try to advise you is even worse of a crime. Just say that you didn't know any better and jazakallah khair for the enlightenment. But to become arrogant and just fight for no reason doesn't make any sense. So anyone with a sound mind, if he's speaking to Christians, even if you think the Prophet is holy because Allah sent him, and you don't mean holy as divine, but holy as in he has a virtue, don't use it with the Christians, man, because you don't know what kind of message you're delivering. Connotation. So now here, the ayah says, Asa. فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ. Now Asa, how do we translate that to English? What do you remember how I translated the ayah? What does it say in Ibn Kathir? Ayah 99, what does it say?
These are they whom Allah is likely to forgive them. And Allah is ever of pardoning.
What is the key word here?
Likely.
Perhaps, whatever, whether it is likely or perhaps, all of them denote what? Possibility. It is likely that he will come on time. No guarantees. Perhaps he will come on time. No guarantees. So now we have an issue. Yani after all this, it is being said, these people perhaps, or it is likely that Allah will forgive them. Now this is a problem created from the literal translation. Because the term asa means that in Arabic. It is correct. It's an accurate translation, no doubt. But now we have to understand the exegesis of the matter, the tafsir of the matter, the statements of the ulama of the matter. The ulama say, when asa is used in the context of what Allah promised, then we take it as certainty based on knowing Allah's generosity and kindness. يعني في حق الله, when Allah says it, it becomes inevitable that He will do it. It is no longer the meaning of possibility. No, even when Allah says asa, when Allah says it, in no doubt Allah will forgive them because of knowing Allah's names and attributes. Is that clear? So then you will have to translate literally and then explain according to the ulama that asa does not mean perhaps. Does not mean, because we know, based on what we know from Allah Azza wa Jalla, what He taught us about Himself, there's no doubt that He will forgive those who cannot do anything about it. Because remember, these are people that are excused. They are excused, because if Allah doesn't excuse them, while they are excused, is that justice or injustice? It's injustice. And would Allah ever oppress anyone? Never. So based on knowing these matters, we know that asa does not mean perhaps. Because it's telling you that after them having a valid excuse, still it is up to Allah. We say no. The term is being used in this fashion. But في حق الله واجب وقوعها. It is no doubt that it will occur and take place, that Allah will forgive them and pardon them. Amazing. وفي الترجية بالثواب لمن عمل بعض الأعمال الفائدة. And then now in the giving good news or glad tidings for good reward for those who do beneficial deeds. وهو أنه قد لا يوفي حق توفيته ولا يعلمه على الوجه اللائق الذي ينبغي بل يكون مقصرا فلا يستحق ذلك الثواب والله أعلم. Now here there's another explanation, another logical approach to this understanding. The first one said, we said, if it's from Allah, it's going to happen. Look at the other observation. The ulama are amazing men. Now in Allah Azza wa Jal promising them reward, okay, for some beneficial deeds, in this fashion, with the perhaps, with the asa, it is because they may be individuals who don't carry out the job the way it is supposed to be carried out. And they do not do it the way it's supposed to be done. So they have some shortcomings. So he does not deserve this kind of reward. You see? Yani there may be individuals whom it appears to the people, or they have fooled themselves to think that they have utilized all means to do hijrah, but they have not. And so the ayah becomes asa to exempt those individuals who really didn't do the required effort. And so they were blameworthy and had shortcomings. So the asa, the perhaps, or it is likely, becomes applicable to them, and Allah knows best. The Shaykh said, وَفِي الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ عَجَزَ عَنِ الْمَأْمُورِ مِنْ وَاجِبْ وَغَيْرِهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَعْذُورٌ. Excellent. So this is one of the ayat we use to understand this foundational principle. This ayah, this noble ayah, there's an evidence in it that the one who is incapable of carrying out an obligation or otherwise, he is excused. Anyone who's unable to carry out an obligation, he is excused. كما قال تعالى في العاجزين عن الجهاد. Just like Allah said concerning those who are unable to engage in jihad. ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج. There's no harm, there's no sin upon the blind, nor is there sin upon the one-legged, nor is there any sin upon the ill or the sick person. وقال في عموم الأوامر, and Allah said in regards to the commandments, فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. Then have taqwa of Allah, as in obey Allah, follow the commandments and avoid the prohibitions, ما استطعتم, to the best of your ability, as much as you're able to do so. Alhamdulillah. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in fortifying this meaning, فإذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. If I command you of any command, then carry out of it whatever is possible, whatever you can, whatever is within your ability. ولكن لا يعذر الإنسان إلا إذا بذل جهده. But a person is not excused until he has exerted himself. Until you exert yourself and you exhaust all the possibilities and the means. When all of them fail, then we can say, sir, you are excused. Until then, you're not. You can't be just chilling and say, well, I'm excused. You're only excused after having tried, then failed, then tried, then failed, and when khalas, nothing else is working, then you are excused. Before that, it doesn't apply. This is a very important exception. وَأَنْ سَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ أَبْوَابُ الْحِيَلِ. And then all doors of you know, all means are closed before him. All gates of success are closed before him. لِقَوْلِهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلًا. Because Allah said they have no way, and they have no way to get around something. وَفِي الْآيَةِ تَنْبِيهٌ عَلَى أَنَّ الدَّلِيلَ في الحج والعمرة ونحوهما مما يحتاج إلى السفر من شروط الاستطاعة. In this ayah, there's an alluding to the idea that having a guide for Hajj and Umrah and other things which of travel is among the conditions of ability. يعني Allah says وحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. And then performing the Hajj to the house to the one who's able to do so. And the Prophet ﷺ also said in أركان الإسلام الخمسة وحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. And also to do Hajj to the one who's able to do so. So now the Shaykh is saying, okay, let's say you live in some far country, in Russia, or I don't know what the farthest country is from the kingdom, but let's say somewhere way out there. If you don't have a guide who knows how to travel, nowadays it's easy because you get on a plane and you come here. But let's assume someone was using the, you know, traditional means of transportation, like cattle, animals, horses, donkeys, whatever. Then it is a condition to have a guide who knows the way. If you don't have a guide to lead you to Mecca, then you are not considered to have a person who has the means to come to Hajj. Even you may have the money, you may have everything else, mahram, if it's a woman, but no guide, nope. Because you may get lost. And Allah does not want to put you in a position where you get through, you know, wandering the land, not knowing how to get to your destination. So having a guide is a prerequisite. Now, this ayah, the amazing ayah in the book of Allah, ayah number 100. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Now listen to this. And whoever immigrates for the cause of Allah will find on the earth many alternative locations and abundance. And whoever leaves his home as an immigrant to Allah and His Messenger, and then death overtakes him, his reward has already become incumbent upon Allah. And Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. Now listen to this now. The Shaykh said, هذا في بيان الحث على الهجرة والترغيب وبيان ما فيها من المصالح. This ayah is in the context of clarifying or encouraging hijrah and mentioning the things or the benefits which lie therein. What do you get from doing hijrah في سبيل الله? I think the best thing to do besides reading the tafsir of the ayah is ask those who have migrated for the sake of Allah. Because you may find some individuals who migrate for other than the sake of Allah. They migrate for a better lifestyle. That was their niyyah. And then they come here and they don't find that better lifestyle. They don't find the system which they had been accustomed to, and the organization, the cleanliness, and things of the sort that they believe are holy. And so when they don't find it, they just find some of the Muslims' behaviors to be, you know, despicable, which we can admit to. Then they leave. They leave. Because they find that the dunya over there was better than the dunya over here. Yeah, but see, that's the problem, man. You came with the wrong niyyah, akhi. And we hear about these all the time. If you came for the sake of Allah, however, Because the hadith is amazing. Hadith al-Niyya is exactly about this. You know the hadith of the Niyya. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ already told us, so whoever's migration is for some dunya he can acquire, or some woman he wants to get married to, then his hijra is for that. So when he doesn't have the dunya or doesn't find a wife, he will go back. And he doesn't get the privileges that Allah promised in this ayah. Because Allah said in the ayah, مَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you migrate for the sake of Allah, if you leave your homeland, even though you had a nice job, you were making good money, you were pretty, you had stability, everything is in order, life is as good as it can be, but you just don't want to live among the kuffar anymore because you're worried about your well-being and that of your children. And so you decide to come to the Muslim land knowing that there will be struggle and there will be difficulties and what have you. And you still do it for the sake of Allah, knowing that you know you're going to come to a new job which may or may not be better, new residence which may or may not be better, new climate which may or may not be better, and so on and so forth. But when you do it for the sake of Allah, you're going to win. And Allah will give you better. It doesn't have to be exact. Because we may fail. See, some people say, yeah, but you know, back there, this and that, and now A, B, C. Yeah, but look at your children, man. You may not be paying much attention, but alhamdulillah, your child, man, can speak some Arabic now. And he's memorized a couple of azah from the Quran. And he's still, relatively speaking, in a decent Islamic environment. At least you're able to make him avoid places where you don't want him to be. You couldn't have done that back there. You know that. You couldn't have done that. And you may not even pay attention at how your child was going astray while you thought that he was doing just fine. So this is something that people fail to observe. They look at the worldly material and they say that, no, I was doing better over there, so how is this ayah manifesting in my life? Say, akhi, the ayah is manifesting in Allah protecting you and your progeny in the future, which could have not happened back over there. But so don't look at the silly things. You had a nicer car and now you don't. Big deal. What state are you in? All these have to be taken into consideration to see the manifestation of the ayah. I mean, people were barely living over there. Alhamdulillah, now they make good money and they're nice and they're enjoying themselves and things are getting better. And inshallah, what the future holds is greater because Allah promised, ya akhwan. This is what it boils down to. People say this and that. At the end of the day, Allah promised. And if Allah promised, Allah will fulfill the promise. And this is something, like I said, which we know from the brothers' lives. Alhamdulillah. Now, فوعد الصادق في وعده أن من هاجر في سبيله ابتغاء مرضاته أنه يجد مراغما في الأرض وسعة. The promise of the most truthful in his promise, that whosoever immigrates in his cause, seeking his pleasure, he will find abundance in the land and space. فالمراغم مجتمع على مصالح الدين. مراغم مراغما. This المراغم, عفوا, is it مراغم or مراغم؟ مراغما, نعم. The مراغم, this contains the benefits of the deen. مراغما كثيرا وسعا. مراغما is the religious benefit, the spiritual benefit. It's very difficult to abandon salah in Saudi. Very easy to abandon it elsewhere. Unless you're really a lunatic here, you will abandon salah. Because if places close down at the time of salah, all these masajid call in the adhan, people are going to pray anyways. Unless you're a lunatic, you will not pray with them. And we know many people, by the way, who used to live abroad who wouldn't pray. When they came here, they started praying because they have no choice. He's afraid of the haya. Huh? He's afraid if he's sitting in the car, the haya will come and bust him. And this is ni'mah from Allah. Allah is pushing him to pray for his own good. And I mean, either way, what are you going to do at the prayer time? Pray Angry Birds? You're just going to stay on your phone playing Angry Birds? Come on, man. You might as well pray with the jama'ah. But elsewhere, it's difficult. You don't hear the adhan. No one cares for prayer. If you're sitting in a bank waiting for your turn with the teller, and it's salah time, and you're in a kafir country, are you going to tell me you're going to get up in front of everyone and say, Allahu Akbar, and pray? Man, unless you're a real tough man, and we know brothers who've done that, you won't. You'll be too embarrassed. But here, 10 minutes before, they say, salah, salah, salah. And so you find yourself outside. So, يعني, this is one religious benefit we can speak of. There are many more, without a doubt, there are many more. But this one that we can relate to, I guess, on daily basis. وَالسَّعَى فِي مَصَالِحِ الدُّنْيَا. Now, مُرَاغَمًا is the religious spiritual benefit. سَعَى is the worldly benefit. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَتَوَهَمْ أَنَّ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ شَتَاتًا بَعْدَ الْأُلْفَةِ. الله أكبر. وَفَقْرًا بَعْدَ الْغِنَى وَذِلًّا بَعْدَ الْعِزَّةِ وَشِدَّةً بَعْدَ الرَّخَاءِ وَالْأَمْرُ لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. Listen attentively to the Sheikh. I remember I read this in another country. والله العظيم, I read this in another country, and we put the confidence in Allah because of this ayah. Subhanallah. And Allah did not break His promise. He said, many people assume that in migration, and because of migration, you will be divided after having been united. There will be division after unity. And there will be poverty after richness. And there will be humiliation after honor. And that there will be difficulty after ease. But the matter is not as such. The matter is not as such. Now, that does not mean that you may not be in some predicaments where you will be humiliated, or you will be in state of difficulty. But if you didn't want that anymore, then hey, what is life about? You understand? Yani don't then someone say, okay, well, the other day I was in, you know, Jawazat, and somebody, you know, insulted me. And the ayah says that, you know, people think that there's humility after honor. I was honored over there, I'm being humiliated now. Say, brother, life is still a test. You didn't come to Jannah, okay? You just migrated fi sabilillah, and generally speaking, it will not be like this. But these things happen. They happen here, they happen there. Don't tell me over there everybody was honoring you all the time. Give me a break, man. A woman nowadays is walking down the street with a niqab. Some have the audacity to pull her niqab off her face and beat her in the street. You're going to tell me that you were being honored over there because, you know, they made you stand in the queue and no one came and cut you off? Khalas, this is honor right now? It's not it, man. There's more to it. Yes, some may treat you with justice and some may humiliate you because you're a Muslim. Here, you'll be humiliated because of your race, not because you're a Muslim. Still, somebody will treat you badly because they think they're better than you, and that's their jahiliyyah, but not usually because of your religion. Otherwise, the religious people here, predominantly, except by minority, are respected. Yeah, and you find people that may be doing a sin, and when someone comes, you know, who looks like he's a practicing Muslim, you find that the people get shy. When the hayya comes to the mall, have you ever been to a mall and seen the hayya come in? Have you ever seen it with your own eyes? You've seen it? Have you seen it?
I walked in to speak to about the hayya. Right here in Jannah. They caught a couple.
The most amazing scene in the world, man, was when I saw the hayya enter the mall. You know what I'm saying? I was the happiest man, because you see all these violations and they come in, women start, women, all of them disappeared, man. Everybody suddenly covering. This guy ran, this one who was dressed like a faggot, ran into the back room, and all these, you know, funny people who usually are out there showing you themselves became like little cockroaches and ants running away in the little holes and trying to escape. And it's a tiny little guy coming in with this, you know, with this mishlah and a soldier next to him, askari with a big beard. It was amazing, man. I was like, yes. Hugs and kisses, brothers. May Allah support you. You love them because they put people in check. They put people in check, but people are scared. They don't want to play with the hayya. And so that's one of the benefits, man, of being here. You're not going to see that in a mall over there. You know, they come in, oh, what is this Christmas tree? Put it away. It's like, excuse me? You need to get out. So Muslims are being humiliated elsewhere, man. And here, alhamdulillah, there's some honor, except by some juhal. You just have to understand that they're juhal. Uncivilized people will always treat you and discriminate against you because they're uncivilized. And so there's nothing that you can do. نعم. The Shaykh said, الأمر ليس كذلك فإن المؤمن ما دام بين أظهر المشركين فدينه في غاية النقص. Listen to this now. The matter is not as such. The believer, as long as he is residing amongst the polytheists, his religion is in the state of deficiency. His religion is being exposed to deficiency. major deficiency. لا في العبادات القاصرة عليه كالصلاة ونحوها. Not in regards to acts of worship that are personal and particular to him like salah. You see, the Shaykh is very wise. Because when we say, Wallah, my salah there, I used to pray the sunnah, now I don't pray the sunnah anymore. I used to find khushu, I don't pray khushu. The Shaykh said, no. We're not saying that while you're living among the kuffar, your salah here will be better than there. No. And not in regards to your personal acts of worship. Not in this regard you will have deficiency in your religion. How? ولا في العبادات المتعدية كالجهاد بالقول والفعل وتوابع ذلك ولكن it should be ولكن but it will be in the acts of worship which are not restricted to the person such as jihad in the statement and in the action and whatever necessitates that, whatever follows that. And jihad here means struggling for the sake of Allah, not necessarily armed struggle, even though that is included, because obviously you're not going to be living in that country and then do jihad against them, because you're one of them. You have to be with the Muslims. If ever the Muslims will fight with an army, with an enemy, then you have to be with the Muslims there. Now you cannot be living with the enemies, because if you are living with them, you know that when you got the citizenship, if you ever got the citizenship, they made you swear, man, that you will defend this country with your blood and with, you're going to put yourself, your neck on the line for the country which has given you that citizenship. Which in other words, saying that you are allying with the kuffar and going against the Muslims. And if they told you that we need you to go to Afghanistan or some Muslim country to fight, you know you better go there. And if you're a soldier and you don't go, you'll be imprisoned. So they got you. They got you by the neck. They got you by the neck. So in this regard, you're deficient in religion. Can't speak, can't say anything. You know, Muslims until now, in almost every masjid, he can't say the word jihad in a masjid, man. He can't. They will use all kinds of translations. All kinds of translations. But the word, you will hardly ever hear it. Because he knows, man. He says jihad on the minbar and the CIA will arrest him at the door before he leaves the masjid. They know they got, they're tapping the masjid, listening to what's going on. I remember some of the guys who would come, some weird people come out of nowhere, suddenly want to become, among those who have frequented the masjid and come sit in the classes. You can tell from 20 miles away that this guy is an undercover detective working for Allah knows what. And he wants to hear what you guys are talking about. And they will come with these irrational statements. Try to incite you to say something that is against the government or something so they can arrest you. And unless you're tablighi jama'at, then you will not be left alone. Because tablighi jama'at, they don't talk about any politics. They mind their business, so the government gives them the leeway to do whatever they want. Otherwise, you can be in trouble any day. Any day. So all these you have to keep in mind. That now this is deficiency in your religion. وَهُوَ بِصَدَرٍ يُفْتَنَ عَنْ دِينِهِ And you are on the verge of being turned away from your deen. وَخُصُوصًا إِنْ كَانَ مُسْتَضْعِفًا Specifically if he is weak. If you are weak, you're not a strong community, you're very likely that you will leave Islam. And it happens all the time. You all know about the apostates. فَإِذَا هَاجَرَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ But if he migrates in the cause of Allah, تَمَكَّنَ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ دِينِ اللَّهِ He'll be able to establish the deen of Allah. وَجِهَادِ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ And he'll be able to struggle against and fight against the enemies of Allah. وَمُرَاغَمَتِهِمْ And annoying them. فَإِنَّ الْمُرَاغَمَ إِسْمٌ جَامِعٌ لِكُلِّ مَا يَحْصُلُ بِهِ إِغَاظَ لِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ Muragama is a comprehensive term which includes everything which creates annoyment or annoys the enemies of Allah. مِنْ قَوْلٍ وَفِعْلٍ Be it a statement or an action. وَكَذَلِكَ يَحْصُلُ لَهُ سَعَى فِي رِزْقِهِ Similarly, and also he will get some expansion in his sustenance. وَقَدْ وَقَعَ كَمَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى And this has happened. Many people who used to make, maybe 5,000, 6,000 riyals or what would be equivalent to that in pounds or dollars or whatever they use over there. Now they make 10, 12, 15,000 riyals. Which they couldn't have dreamt about back home. They don't have to pay any taxes on this money that they're making. They had to pay taxes over there. And usually they're provided with accommodation and this and that. And so you're just chilling. And there's barakah. If you work hard for your money and it's halal, there's barakah. Over there, man, everything is coming from some sort of riba-based institution. It's difficult to avoid it. In terms of earning it and in terms of spending it, you are in danger. Here, you can handle business. وَاعْتَبِرْ ذَلِكَ بِالصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Now you consider that, reflect on that reality in the life of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَمَّا هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَتَرَكُوا دِيَارَهُمْ وَأَوْلَادَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. When they migrated for the sake of Allah and they left their homes and their children and their wealth for the sake of Allah. Nowadays when we migrate, we don't leave any of that. Look how spoiled we are. Even in our migration, it's weak. We migrate with the wealth and the children and everything. We even bring half of our furniture from wherever that was. Over there, the Sahaba had to leave their wealth, leave their children, leave their homes, and do hijrah fi sabilillah. This is the real deal, hijrah. وَتَرَكُوا دِيَارَهُمْ وَأَوْلَادَهُمْ وَكَمُّلَ بِذَلِكَ إِيمَانُهُمْ. Because of that, their iman reached perfection. وحصل لهم من الإيمان التام والجهاد العظيم والنصر لدين الله ما كانوا به أئمة لمن بعدهم. And يعني what they acquired of perfect iman and struggling, major struggling in the cause of Allah and giving victory to the deen of Allah, what made them imams for anyone who comes after them. وكذلك حصل لهم مما يترتب على ذلك. Similarly, من الفتوحات والغنائم ما كانوا به أغنى الناس. Now, after this, the various conquests, and the Muslim eventually spread, Islam spread. Then they wind up acquiring so much war booty that they became the richest of people. I mean, they owned Kisra and Qaisar and all these, they became the Muslim property. The Persian Empire and the Greek Empire, they became Muslim property. Muslim property. So they became the wealthiest people also. So Allah gave them the deen and the dunya in this regard. Not the dunya, يعني, in the ultimate sense. وَهَكَذَا كُلُّ مَنْ فَعَلَ فِعْلَهُمْ. Similarly will happen to anyone who does what they have done. حَصَلَ لَهُ مَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. What happened to them will happen to them until the day of resurrection. Because Allah promised. Anyone who follows their footsteps. So then we have to look at the condition and the niyyah. Why did you migrate? Was it because of the dunya, because of a better job offer, or because you wanted to protect yourself and your children and go to a Muslim country? All these will make a major difference in the outcome. So no one can come and blame anyone because Allah promised. And if Allah promised, Allah will fulfill the promise. If someone winds up going through something which makes him leave for whatever reason, Then that person, his affairs with Allah, we cannot make any judgment, but they have to consider, did they really migrate fi sabilillah? Did they wind up going back because they didn't find the dunya they were looking for? Or would they accept a little bit less of the dunya so they can get the better advantage of the deen? All these things make a major difference in this affair. We'll finish with this ayah, inshallah, which we read already. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا فِي سَبِيلِ فِي مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And whoever leaves his home intending migration to Allah and His Messenger, أي قَاصِدًا رَبَّهُ وَرِضَاهُ وَمَحَبَّتَهُ لِرَسُولِهِ وَنَصْرًا لِدِينِ اللَّهِ لَا لِغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَقَاصِدِ. He left then seeking Allah and His pleasure and loving Him and loving His Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, out of love of His Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, and as means of aiding and strengthening the deen of Allah, not for any other niyyah, not for any other objectives. ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ. Then death overtakes him, بِقَتْلٍ أَوْ غَيْرٍ, whether someone kills him or other reasons. فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then his reward has become incumbent upon Allah. أي فَقَدْ حَصَلَ لَهُ أَجْرُ الْمُهَاجِرَ الَّذِي أَدْرَكَ مَقْصُودَهُ بِضَمَانِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He will get the reward of someone who did migrate, even though he would die on the way, with per the guarantee of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ نَوَى وَجَزَمَ وَحَصَلَ مِنْهُ ابْتِدَاءٌ وَشُرُوعٌ فِي الْعَمَلِ. This is because he intended, he was determined, and he initiated the action, and he started doing it. فَمِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَبِأَمْثَالِهِ أَنْ أَعْطَاهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ كَامِلًا. Out of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him and his likes, that he gave him the reward in full. وَلَوْ لَمْ يُكْمِلُوا الْعَمَلِ. Even though they weren't able to complete the deed. يعني he only started to migrate, died as soon as he took off, Allah will give him the ajr of the hijrah completely. Because he had done something. وَغَفَرَ لَهُمْ مَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ مِنَ التَّقْصِيرِ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ وَغَيْرًا. And Allah will pardon them in regards to any shortcomings they had in this hijrah or otherwise. وَلِهَذَا خَتَمَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ بهذين الاسمين الكريمين. That's why Allah concluded this ayah with these two noble names. فقال وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Allah is ever forgiving, merciful. يغفر للمؤمنين ما اقترفوه من الخطيئات. He forgives the believers in regards to what they do of sins or errors. خصوصا التائبين المنيبين إلى ربهم. Particularly those who repent, المنيبين, those who are inclining and returning back to their Lord. رحيما بجميع الخلق رحمة أوجدتهم وعافتهم ورزقتهم من المال والبنين والقوة وغير ذلك. And he's merciful to all of his creation, a mercy through which they were found, they were brought to existence, and they were given the ability to survive, and sustenance of wealth and children and power and others. رحيماً بالمؤمنين, particularly merciful to the believers. حيث وفقهم للإيمان. He gave them success. He granted them success to become believers. وعلمهم من العلم ما يحصل به الإيقان. And he taught them that of knowledge through which one attains certainty. ويسر لهم أسباب السعادة والفلاح. And he facilitated for them all means of attaining happiness and success. وما به يدركون غاية الأرباح. And that through which they can attain the greatest of profit. وسيرون من رحمته وكرمه ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. And they will see, they will come to see of his mercy and his generosity what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has never come across a human's mind or a human's heart. Then he said at the end this beautiful dua, فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَلَّا يَحْرِمَنَا خَيْرَهُ بِشَرِّ مَا عِنْدِنَا. We ask Allah not to deprive us of the goodness which is with him because of the evil which is with us. We ask Allah not to deprive us of the goodness which is with him due to the evil which is within us. And with this, inshallah, we conclude. Now, next week, bi-idhnillah, if we will remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with the issue of salatul khawf, the salah of the fear, salatul fear, and how to pray it, and in terms and things pertaining to the salah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.